Well, good morning, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful Christmas time together last Wednesday, and I heard good things about the Christmas Eve service on Tuesday evening. While Valerie plays through a few verses for us, let's prepare our hearts before the Lord for the service ahead. Good morning, and Juanetta and I want to thank you all for last week. You gave us a very generous Christmas gift, and we want to thank you all for that once again as well. Joshua, please come and lead us in number 23, Worthy is Worship. Open your songbooks to 23. Of all our worship, and I trust that that decision has already been made by everyone in this room. If not, you make that this year, that you focus on exalting Him in your life, your thoughts, your words, your every action throughout the year ahead. We're on the threshold of a new year. God has many delightful things in store and probably some difficulties too, and through Him, with Him, He will lead us through it all. Let's begin in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you that no one else is in any way worthy of the worship that you are. You are worthy of our praise every day. And Father God, I ask you that we would live that in the year ahead. Thank you for the delightful week we enjoyed last week as a church family and with others in our lives, that you have brought friends and family together as well in various places and ways. And Father, we thank you that we can enjoy that. But I ask you, Lord, that we would focus more and more on you throughout the year ahead. In this hour, Lord God, may you be honored and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, worshiped. Thank you that through his perfect life in this world as God incarnate, the one born in Bethlehem, who is truly the God of all ages, the God of creation, his perfect life, our Savior's life in this world without sin, made it possible, of course, for each and every one of us through his shed blood to have the remission or forgiveness of sins through faith in him. Father, I ask you that if there's anyone here today who hasn't believed in the sacrificial and substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ for their sins, that today they would make that decision and start a new year, a new calendar year, walking with their new Savior. Father God, I ask you too that we would each grow closer to you and that the Lord Jesus Christ would increase and that I would decrease, that each of us would in every way bring honor to our Savior. Father, thank you for this hour together. I ask that you would guide us in it and that the Holy Spirit would do that work which you desire through your word in each of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So at this time, let's sing another song of worship toward our Savior, Bow the Knee, number 13. I'd like to ask everyone to stand, both for the singing of Another Year is Dawning, one of those older high church type hymns, but then remain standing with your Bibles in hands, and Tom will read for us Psalm 40 following that. So we'll stand for this song and for scripture reading. After that, Children's Church is dismissed. Please remain standing. Open your Bibles to Psalm 40.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praised unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are they wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hath thou opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in a great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord. Thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy lovingness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou any tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compressed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up, and they are more than the hairs on my head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, and deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backwards and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say to me, aha. Let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no trying, O my God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What a prayer of King David. Yes. At this time, I'd like to ask everyone to open their songbooks, and we will sing In Christ Alone, number 239.
Solid ground, through the fears it's traveled and soared.
I have considered several things, and this is how God is leading in my life as far as our sermons coming up. We just finished 1 Thessalonians just before Christmas time, and I enjoyed, anyway, several sermons and different scripture readings about the Christmas account and the Christmas story. And I believe God would have me go to 2 Thessalonians next. So next Sunday, we'll start a series in 2 Thessalonians, in a way, picking up where we left off at the end of 1 Thessalonians. And today is a transition, you know, from Christmas to New Year's, and so we'll try to tie a lot of that together. Before I get into our sermon, I titled it A New Thing. Gene McClory was one of our dear first members, and she gave us this that I'll be reading in just a moment. Gene, and while her parents started what is now Lake Blain Baptist Bible Camp. They started a church near Lake Blain called Calvary Baptist Church, the Harris. And Jean was their daughter and lived in Rexford for a while and then Fortyne. And for the last probably 8 years or so has been in heaven. And she gave me this, and I think she typed it up. There are some corrections and things like that on it. But it's called Heaven's Grocery Store. Something to think about for the year ahead, okay? For the year ahead. This was written by Bisbee in the Mule Mountains. I don't know who Bisbee was. I was walking down life's highway a long time ago. One day I saw a sign that read, Heaven's Grocery Store. As I got a little closer, the door came open wide. And when I came to myself, I was standing inside. I saw a host of angels that were standing everywhere. Everything a Christian needed was in that grocery store. And all you couldn't carry, you could come back the next day for more. First, I got some patience. Love was in the same row. Further down was understanding. You need that wherever you go. I got a box or two of wisdom, a bag or two of faith. I just couldn't miss the Holy Ghost, for it was all over the place. I stopped to get some strength and courage to help me run this race. By then, my basket was getting full, but I remembered I needed grace. I didn't forget salvation, for salvation, that was free. So I tried to get enough of that to save both you and me. Then I started up to the counter to pay my grocery bill, for I thought I had everything to do my master's will. As I went up the aisle, I saw prayer, and I just had to put it in. For when I stepped outside, I would run right into sin. Peace and joy were plentiful. They were on the last shelf. Song and praises were hanging near, so I just helped myself. Then I said to the angel, "How much do I owe?" He just smiled and said, "Just take them where you go." Again, I smiled at him and said, "How much do I really owe?" He smiled again and said, "My child, Jesus paid your bill a long time ago." I thought that was worth reading sometime or another. Yeah. How about the Sunday before New Year's, okay? Yeah. Wednesday is a new year of our calendar system. And it begins with January 1st, Anno Domini. You know what that means, right? The year of our Lord. Our calendar points to Jesus Christ. This year, we will likely see the inauguration of Donald Trump as President of the United States of America. And there are some changes coming our way. on the horizon. Some will be good and some will not be good. There are some changes coming. But that doesn't mean there is anything new. We'll read about that in just a moment. These things have happened throughout history, and we can learn from them. But more importantly, we should learn from the pages of our Bibles. People around the world are running to and fro, as Daniel predicted in Daniel 12, verse 4. Some of them in panic, some for other reasons, constantly trying to find some new thing. It seems society is even new thing driven, if you will. The newest cutting edge technology sure captures the minds and desires of many. How about the newest media and social networks? Sure. The newest digital devices, there are hundreds of kinds to choose from on the market. How about the newest cars and trucks and snow machines and boats and bikes and ATVs? You know, our son Levi was into mountain biking for quite some time, and we talked at length about the newest bicycles with custom suspensions that are automatically adjusting to the terrain, and carbon fiber frames, and they run up to $50,000 for a bicycle. Amazing. The newest computer programs. Oh, by the way, Levi doesn't have one of those. He would like one if anybody, oh, I don't, whatever. The newest computer programs and online games and movies and the newest church programs, by the way. Churches aren't exempt from being new thing driven, you know. Some call it one-upsmanship. I think you get the idea. There are church ministries and designs and fads that are considered spiritual awakenings, like about 15 years ago, the emergent church was the thing. And then, not that long ago, the convergent church followed. And of course, more recently, the New Apostolic Reformation, NAR, and there are others on the horizon. We'll see that maybe in the year 2025. I'm looking forward to getting into 2 Thessalonians because I think we'll be taken out of this picture. At any rate, we get the picture. Folks are new thing driven. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. And in your bulletin, it's just various texts today. This is a transition, of course. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, right after Proverbs, Solomon put together a continuation in a way, I believe, at the latter end of his life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, let's read verses 9, 10, and 11. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. When you see that phrase in Ecclesiastes, under the sun, it means down here on earth, this side of heaven, basically. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things, there neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. I don't know how many generations it takes, but the lessons that our great-great-grandparents learned, we have to learn them all over again because we forget them, don't we? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for this time together today that we can be very frank and personal with each other and know that you care for us more than we care for each other. We do care for each other. We love each other. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can enjoy being brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, we know that you care for us even more intimately. And Father God, I ask you that we would allow you to have free course in our hearts and in our lives this year ahead, that we would, in just a maybe a too casual way, be enamored with you and not the things around us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Solomon, God's penman here, verse 1 says, the words of the preacher, the son of David, the king of Jerusalem. We know that in studying that, as Solomon was given more knowledge and more wisdom than any other human being. Some people might try to argue that, but this is what God said, 1 Kings 3:12. Lo, I, God, have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now I know the exception is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the human realm, God gave Solomon more knowledge than anyone else. And the majority of the Proverbs were penned by him, and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, God's word, a portion of it, was penned by this man. So here in Ecclesiastes, he set out to write his life's experiences, if you will, as the smartest man who ever lived. We might think, well, but what about nuclear atomic fusion and chain reactions and thermonuclear fusion and Albert Einstein? What about that? What about Alexander Graham Bell and Tesla and Elon Musk and SpaceX? What about that stuff? Well, Solomon had more wisdom than they. Maybe he didn't get into some of the physics that, of course, Albert Einstein did, but still, he had more wisdom given by God than even Albert Einstein. Yes, there have been some brilliant people in this world who have invented some amazing things, and there should be proper credit given for that, proper credit. But as Solomon pointed out, all that they rearranged was here already. We live, if you will, within a closed system, basically. I understand. Our snow, and I've talked about it lately, up in our mountains, is to me an incredible water storage system that God designed back when he created the earth. And it's slow release throughout the spring and summer, so that during the hot months, which we need, the hot months as well as the cooler months, there are places that get water that wouldn't otherwise. I don't know. That's just a simple thing. That water cycles. It doesn't leave the earth's atmosphere. It stays here. Everything that's under the sun has been here since creation. There are a few exceptions, though, of course, but it's already here. Every element that can be affected by the science of, like, Albert Einstein was already here. Every molecule and the energy needed to invent and develop stuff was already here under the sun, this side of heaven. Not only that, but to be new thing driven, if you will, is vanity. Solomon said, all is vanity, saith the preacher. It is hollow and empty if you pursue it. It will lead you to discouragement if that is your focus. This is partly a connection you'll see between Christmas and New Year's today. Lest we get all puffed up and think we're the smartest generation, I think we ought to think, go a little bit into our Bibles. There is both biblical and historical evidence that point otherwise. In Genesis chapters 1 through Genesis chapter 11, those are amazing chapters in Bible history, and they're true history. And the first dozen generations of Adam and Eve were extremely intelligent, skilled, and creative and advanced people. When you get to Genesis 5, you'll discover that what they could do and did do were the building blocks for all of our modern, quote-unquote, engineering, technology, sciences and arts and music. Historians and scientists alike are still baffled by some of that, and of course, even ancient Inca and Aztec and Mayan societies and their skills and achievements point to there was a lot of knowledge that was given to man by God generations past. One of the troubling things to me, and we've talked about it in casual conversations, is the dumbing down of America, the dumbing down of Christianity in our day and age. I recently read an article that was written in 1912, and I thought, wow, it's almost over my head, and people don't write like that anymore. And you know what? 1912 wasn't really, in a way, that long ago. There were people that wrote in the 1500s, 1600s that were incredibly intelligent. And today, we have a new language developing because of our our thumbs, if you will. The way we text each other and leave out words and even abbreviate words. In reality, under heaven, this side of the sun, there is no new thing. No new ways of using, there are new ways of using things, sure, and that's true, but nothing that is new. A new thing, to have a new thing is, here's where I'm headed, it must come from outside and come into us. That would give us a new thing. It has to come from outside our realm, the realm of mankind, from the realm of the Creator God himself. King Solomon in his wise old years did not deny any new thing brought into our world from God above. He didn't deny that, but he did state mankind's insufficiency to create anything new and the futility in chasing after the things new and old of this world. Why was it futile? Well, I'll just give you an excerpt from Psalm 102, verse 26, which is also stated in Isaiah 51, verse 6, and Hebrews 1, verse 11, tell us that this earth and all that is in it, here it is, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shalt thou change them. It is up to God. These things are not what we should have our trust and dependence in. God wants that exclusively for himself. Have you ever had a favorite shirt wax old? I have, and you probably had some favorite jackets or sweaters or whatever. When Juanetta and I first got married, I had this, I don't know why I liked it so much, it's ridiculous, a shirt that because of the heat in the summer, I'd torn the sleeves off of and the collar off of, and I loved the way that shirt felt, and I loved the way it looked. It probably didn't look so good to other people, and didn't smell so good to other people either. She tried to throw it away once, and I pulled it out of the garbage. Anyway, it's dust now. It's gone. The Bible does tell us of some truly new things that have come or will come into this world, and that comes from outside our system. And there's more to this study of biblical new things, but let's just look at a few. Quote with me Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was a new thing. God brought it in from outside and created a solar system within a galaxy, within a group of galaxies. And that was a new thing. It had never happened before, no matter what our Mormon or Hindu friends may say. Of course, they say that this created Earth and solar system is not the first. Yes, it was. The Bible says so. And this ties in with Christmas. Why do I say this ties in with Christmas? The second one, a second new thing, go to Jeremiah 31. In Jeremiah chapter 31 in our Bibles, we have, well, a lot that we'll be looking at here, so hang on to Jeremiah chapter 31. Yeah, the first new thing, of course, that I just wanted to cover in a broad way was God created the heavens and the earth and all of it working in order so that it continues. That was a new thing that had never happened before, and it came from outside. The second new thing, we have just enjoyed several Bible passages that speak of it. Let's look at Jeremiah 31, okay, verse 22 to start with. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. It stated that God created from outside a new thing in the earth that had never happened before or will ever happen again, where a woman would compass a man. We recognize that as Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll show you why in just a moment. The context here is that Judah, when they were exiled and captive in Babylon, should set their hearts to return to their homeland. Verse 21 tells us, set thee up waymarks or signs and landmarks, make thee high heaps, set thy heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wantest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. The context here has to do with Israel back in the days of their captivity in Babylon needed to turn their hearts toward home. They were taken captive because of their backsliding, as we just saw. Yet the Lord promised to bring them back again. Verse 23, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring them again, their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, and the mountain of holiness. The Lord created a new thing, and he states it here in verse 22. God's promise to do something unprecedented that had never happened before, that would take a creative act of God like Genesis 1:1. Some new thing has to come from a creative act of God to bring it in. And we see that. A woman. The Hebrew word means a weak woman. Just an ordinary vessel. However, we did see that Mary was special. But the Hebrew word means a weak woman. A man, the Hebrew word used in verse 22, means a strong man. And compass, of course, means to surround or circumvent. Here's what the Geneva Bible notes say about that. Because their deliverance from Babylon was a figure of their deliverance from sin, he shows how this would be procured. That is, by Jesus Christ, whom a woman would conceive and bear in her womb, which is a strange thing in earth because he would be born of a virgin without man. That was a new thing, and we just observed that last week, didn't we? A new thing. God created that in the womb of Mary. Now, that was truly a new thing, and that took an act of Almighty God from outside our realm. Let's look at a third one. Let's go to Isaiah 43. So we saw briefly the creation of all things where nothing previously existed. We call that ex nihilo. Out of nothing, God created everything that exists. Genesis 1. And then God creating a new thing in Jeremiah chapter 31, referring to the virgin conception of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 43, we'll start at verse 14. Isaiah 43:14. Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power, and shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, and the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Reading in the whole context here, we'll realize that God would bring again Israel from all four corners of the earth, if you will. No, we don't believe in a square earth, but from all around the globe when Jesus Christ comes again, and there will be unprecedented peace on earth, and even the deserts will bloom. There will be rivers in the desert. That will be a new thing, and it comes from outside our realm when Jesus Christ comes again and returns to this earth. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but a friend gave me a packet of these stickers. Jesus said, I'll be back. You can have one. Okay? I don't know what you'll do with them. I'm sure they're intended to be bumper stickers, but they're for all of us, okay? When he comes back, it will be a new thing. So when God created out of nothing this world, when he came into the world the first time and created that embryo in Mary, that was a new thing. When he comes back again, it will be a new thing. I hope you get the picture here from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Once again, God promised to do a new thing. When Jesus Christ comes again, he will change everything. There will be peace on earth, verse 17. The deserts will no longer be dry. The animals will all be at peace and honor him, and Israel will know him and honor him. And that is not the case yet, but it will be. Is any of that happening now? No. But it will. It will be a new thing. Ezekiel 11. Let's go there. If you're close to Jeremiah, or going through Jeremiah to get to Ezekiel, keep your finger in Jeremiah. We'll go back to chapter 31. Ezekiel 11. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 17 through 20. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where ye have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. That will happen, by the way. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. When Jesus Christ comes back, it'll be a new thing, and Israel will respond to it. National Israel, many of them, will turn to Christ as their Messiah and Savior. Let's go to Jeremiah 31. By the way, Jeremiah 31 is that famous passage where we learn first of the new covenant. We're talking about new things that God will do. And the new covenant with Israel will be part of that. Jeremiah 31, 31, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. There is coming a day when there will be another new thing, and we can look forward to that. Maybe it will take place in the year 2025, at least beginning with the catching up of the church off this earth. When Christ comes back, it will have to be at least 7 years later. We understand that. In Psalm 51, David asked God to create in him a new heart. Here, we see that God will create in those who recognize Christ as their Messiah and Savior a new heart. But David asked for God to put a new heart in him. He understood a lot of this. That can only come to us from outside. You can't save your own soul. That can only come to you from outside. You can believe with your mind and with your heart, and God responds to that and gives you a new heart. We cannot do it ourselves. None of us can be good enough to save ourselves. Only through faith in Jesus Christ, who paid our sin debt, can we have a new heart. If you're not absolutely sure you have a new heart to start 2025 with, better make sure today. I challenge you to talk with me or one of the other adults here or people that are part of Valley Baptist Church. We'd love to talk with you further how you can know that you have forgiveness of sin, eternal life, through faith in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. David asked God to create in him a new heart. And if you're not absolutely sure of your salvation, you can ask him to create in you a new heart too. He'll show you the way. 2 Corinthians 5:17, many of us know that verse by heart. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a creation. Behold, all things are passed away. I'm sorry. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We want this new for you throughout the year 2025. For me as well. Will you start this year out determined to be and to live and to live out that new creation he's started in you? We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says. To wrap up, go to Revelation 21, the second to the last chapter in the Bible. Revelation 21, look at verse 5 with me. Revelation 21, verse 5. Here is a picture of the Lord God in the person of Jesus Christ, of course. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne in heaven. I know this is John was writing of things he had seen in heaven. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. The presentation of the gospel throughout the New Testament comes to a focus with Christ on the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, of course. But the book of Revelation, the focus is his coming again to this earth. Have you asked him to make all things new in you? I challenge you to do that today. Heavenly Father, you know the hearts of everyone here. You know those who genuinely have received Jesus Christ for salvation and have a new heart. They know it because of what the Holy Spirit has done in that heart. For those who are not absolutely sure, I ask you today that the Holy Spirit will challenge them or convict them of the need to make absolutely sure. And Father God, for those of us who have a new heart, I ask you, Heavenly Father, that we would live a new life throughout this year ahead for you. thank you that you've promised new things, and salvation through faith in our Savior is one of those as well. It's connected with his coming into this world the first time and even the second time. Father God, I ask you that we would honor you throughout the year ahead. I pray for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand and sing One Day, number 595.
Glorious day, won't it?